Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio for this Thursday, March the 6th. Thank you for listening again to March the 6th was my birthday.
So you're still living in your birthday mode?
I'm not wanting to, yes, I guess you could say. Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard joining us from KCKS. How you doing?
That's right. Hey, doing great, Tim, and happy birthday. Did you have cake and ice cream and all that stuff?
Yeah. We had here at our offices yesterday, our staff didn't work for about 30 minutes. They just, we had a, they used it as an excuse like they really cared that it was my birthday.
But, they acted like they cared.
Right. They came over for free donuts. And I got to tell you, the hot blueberry donuts were divine. So we did have a God honoring experience. And then
hot blueberry donuts. That's good. Huh? I like that.
Have you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. Oh yeah, that kind of melts in your mouth. That's good stuff.
Oh yeah. So anyway, and then I went out to eat dinner with my family, whole family, all three kids, five grandchildren, and Walker's wife Lexi is due any day with twins, any day or any hour.
Any hour, I would hope. You know, my wife Lexi, she's 5'2", she's carrying 14 pounds of baby boys right Whoa. Now. And she's every morning she's like another day. So right. she's ready to have those babies.
She's been a trooper, but it's time.
Yeah, she has.
But the doctor told y'all any day now?
Yeah. He said any day now. So it's just a waiting game.
Yeah. But anyway, so we took all the family to dinner last night, and I was just delighted to pay for my own birthday.
That's right.
My own birthday.
We were delighted to join you.
Yeah. And
thanks, Dad.
Are gifts, are y'all just delaying the gifts, or did I miss something?
We were going to give you the gifts on Saturday. We're going to have another party for you on Saturday.
Oh, we are? Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wondered.
But, you know, we do joint gifts. It saves a little money on our end.
Yeah. So. Well, it's kind of odd. You know, we had a birthday dinner, and I was waiting around. Okay, when are we going to bring out the gifts for Poppy and for Dad? You know,
we like to leave you in suspense.
Yeah, so the gifts never came, and everybody got in their cars and went home, and I'm sitting there at the table at the restaurant going, what just happened, you know?
No so, gifts, and you ended up paying the bill.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, and it is March 7th, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Walker, folks want to know all the ways they can listen and or watch this show. What do they need to do?
Yeah, a couple of different ways. We're on social media, whether it be YouTube or Facebook. Both those platforms you can visit. YouTube or Facebook, just type in the show name, which is Today's Issues. And you can also visit our website, which is afr.net. You can listen live to the show there, and you can also catch past shows there on our website.
All right, check it out. Fred.
I would like to have had a microphone inside the Democratic Party caucus meeting yesterday. Some reporters in Washington were able to talk to some Democrats who came out of that meeting. And in hockey, we have a term called Donnybrook.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Fights break out on the ice. It's
right.
a Donnybrook.
Right.
Apparently, there was a Donnybrook inside that caucus meeting. You know, Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, their leader, and Steny Hoyer, they like to portray this, we're all together. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a one agenda.
Party unity.
But the newly elected congresswoman from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, has changed all of that. And it comes down to her ongoing, continuing anti-Semitic remarks.
Right.
First time she apologized. This time she's not. But here's what's happening. There were enough concern inside that Democratic caucus that we need to put a resolution together that's going to condemn anti-Semitism and even mention Congresswoman Omar. Mm-hmm. Now, that was the initial thought on all of this. Well, what happened at the meeting yesterday, we don't want to do that. We figure that's going to offend. And by the way, by the sounds of it, there were some that agree with what she had to say about Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So now what we're talking about, and it may be voted on today, is a resolution that does not mention Omar, but it's a resolution that's going to say we condemn anti-Semitism, we condemn any negative remarks about Muslims, we condemn any negative remarks about African Americans, etc., etc., etc. In other words, Congresswoman Omar is going to get away with this. The other thing that's been mentioned, she should be taken off of committees that she's on. Apparently, that's not going to happen.
What committee is she on?
She's on a foreign affairs committee.
Oh, no. No. Wrong committee.
Yeah.
You need to put her on the billiards committee. Okay? Or, you know, the Lego committee. Mm-hmm. But not the foreign relations committee. Right? We're talking about a person that's anti-Israel sitting on a committee for the United States federal government.
That's
in
right.
Congress.
Mm-hmm.
She has no business there.
Right. No, I agree.
And the shocking thing to me, Fred, is that the Democratic Party evidently does not have the courage to condemn anti-Semitism outright, full stop, period. What has happened to the Democratic Party of the old days? Gone forever?
Well, I think it's been brewing for a while, if you want to open this up a little bit. Barack Obama was no friend of Israel. I mean, he made the deal with Iran, who Iran wants Israel wiped off the face of the earth. You know, I was going back doing a little research on this morning. By the way, in this meeting yesterday, the Democratic Caucus meeting, the Congressional Black Caucus, for the most part, they're also against condemning Omar. Here's what's interesting. The Daily Caller, back about a year ago, ran a story about the Congressional Black Caucus. They've had meetings with Louis Farrakhan, Nation of Islam leader, who hates Jews.
Yeah, and white people.
And white people.
Yeah.
All right? So they went and they did a poll of Congressional Black Caucus, and at least 21 members of the Congressional Black Caucus refused to condemn Louis Farrakhan, who hates Jewish people. So what I'm saying is that, in reality, within the Democratic Caucus, there's a long-standing dislike, hatred, non-support for Israel and the Jewish people. You know, here's what's interesting. We mentioned that committee a moment ago. The chairman of that committee, we mentioned that she sits on, Omar sits on, is Elliot Engel, who is a Jewish man. He wanted her off that committee. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, this is a big problem for the Democrats. Republicans have their own problems, I know, as all political parties do, ongoing. But this is a real problem for the Democrats because, Walker, they got that is a serious divide. The divide is, I think, 80-20. I think 80% of the Democrats, the people who are the base of the Democratic Party, they are like this woman.
Omar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They believe like she does. She does that Israel has too much influence in America's government decisions, and who is Israel made up of? Well, they're made up of the Jews,
right.
and they're the bad guys. Now, sometimes they say it outright. Sometimes they do, they signal with the words, like calling them Benjamins and things like that. But it's a very anti-Semitic approach.
Yeah.
And so that's the 80%. This is my opinion. I've done an official survey. The 20% would be the traditional Democrats, many of them Jews.
Who support Israel
and also are Democrats. And they're like looking around going, wait a minute, you telling me there's a lot of anti-Semitism within our own party?
And even President Trump, when he moved the capital, when he moved the embassy, that is, from Tel Aviv to the true capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem, even some Democrats praised President Trump, applauded him for doing that. So to your point, that's the 20%. They are there. But this just shows the double standard. You know, the Democrats and the media constantly accuse conservatives and Republicans of being bigots, haters, we don't like anybody, we're just bullying people. And but in reality, it's the Democrats who are dealing with this whole bigotry thing. Mm-hmm. And they refuse to, I mean, something as simple as passing an anti-Semitism resolution. That should pass with unanimous consent. They shouldn't even need a roll call vote. But their own party is grappling with whether they can do this or not.
The left has got to stop it with the hate.
Yeah.
That's my view.
Hate is on the rise in the Democrat Party.
Well, and the thing that strikes me, Walker, is the words you use, something as simple as. Well, that's a great phrase.
Right.
It ought to be. If you're an American, right, you, given the history in the world of anti-Semitism and the Holocaust, which happened only 70 years ago, and even that, of course, has been drawn into the debate, right? If you cannot condemn anti-Semitism, then exactly what can you condemn? Mm-hmm. It's a shocking. Tim, if your figures are anything approaching right, that only 20% of the Democrats hold the traditional view that anti-Semitism must always be condemned, I don't see that they have any future at all. This woman is going to walk away scot-free, this congresswoman. She's going to get away with it. Maybe she already has.
Well, the other thing is Nancy Pelosi has lost control of the party. Because you've got this deep divide in there. She wanted initially just a resolution on anti-Semitism, but she's not going to get that. Michelle Malkin, columnist Michelle Malkin, addressed that this morning on Fox and Friends, cut number 6.
Nancy Pelosi fears the radical left, and the fringe has become the center of the Democrat Party. This is proof of it. I think if Nancy Pelosi continues down this path, karma is going to come back at her, because this Ilhan Omar is obviously beyond control. And if you think that she's going to be reined in after this, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, she's not going to be reined in. Omar, my prediction is Omar is going to win this fight. And the Democrats are not going to be able to put this cat back in the bag.
Probably. You're probably right, Fred, because here's why. The Democrats have framed themselves as the party that supports Muslims and Islam, because Islam's the minority in the U.S. and they need somebody to stand behind them. And Omar falls in that category, like it or not. And they're going to, you're right, they're not going to be able to control this, because if they do, then guess what? They're xenophobic.
Yep.
The Democrats become xenophobic if they start correcting Muslims.
And Islamophobic.
Yeah.
I think that's what you meant.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many phobics out there.
What's xenophobia, anyways?
Xenophobia means fear of like, immigrants. Hmm. I think that's what
gotcha.
That means.
Right. Well, definitely Islamophobic.
Now, zenith was a good TV back in the day. It was a good word. But that was well before your time, Walker. All right, Will, we got more stuff in the news we want to cover. I was watching Speaker Pelosi on TV. I don't think she slept well last night. I'll just say that. But we'll talk more. We got many more issues to cover here on the program. But we're going to talk about 8 Days of Hope, a partner ministry here that we support, and they are doing some wonderful work. Well, in many different areas of our country in response to natural disasters. And the most recent one, of course, was the tornado. There were a lot of tornadoes that hit Alabama and Georgia in last weekend, I guess it was. But there was one particular tornado that hit in Lee County, Alabama, and you saw that on the news. It killed 23 people. Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope is joining us to tell our folks, our listeners, about what 8 Days of Hope is doing in response to this. Steve, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good. Are you in Buffalo today, or where are you?
Yeah, I don't know where I'm at. You got to check with me every 2 hours. It's been a whirlwind between the opportunities that we've been able to be a part of to help love and serve some of these families. But no, right now, New York, headed to Mississippi and Alabama, and a lot going on, a great opportunity for the church to be the church.
What is 8 Days of Hope going to do about the situation in Alabama?
Yeah, so we're there. We've already announced on our website yesterday that we will be hosting volunteers from around the country over the next 3 weeks. We're in southeast Alabama in Lee County, and this has been a tough one, Tim. You know, we've done disasters for 13 years. You can always volunteer with us. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. But when you go to a community that's lost so many loved ones, a lot of disasters we've gone to where there's been no loss of life. And so, you know, our home church that we're at here in Opelika, you know, they and others will be loving on these families as they bury their loved ones this week. So it's been a, this has been a tough one for us, but I am thankful that so many have already signed up to come and help. Our volunteers will start showing up later this afternoon. And again, we're going to be just loving on these families. We'll be doing a lot of tree work, chainsaw work. We'll be tarping roofs. We're going to just sit some of these families and sit with them and try to salvage what they can salvage from the remains. But this is a mess.
Okay.
In a lot of ways.
Okay. We're talking to Steve Tiber, president of 8 Days of Hope. If folks are listening to us right now and they want to come to be a part of what you guys are doing, what do they need to do?
Yeah, the easiest way is go to our website. Just go to 8 Days of Hope's website, 8daysofhope.com. You do need to spell it out. And then just click on volunteer, and it will direct you to Opelika. You'll see a tab for rapid response tornado relief. You just submit your information, and then you show up. You don't need to bring any tools. You do need to be 18 because this is an active disaster site. But we'll provide safe lodging. We have shower trailers and all the equipment. We'll feed you really good. And you're going to have a great time as far as meeting other people around the country on the front lines for Jesus. So our website or our social media page, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we do a lot of communicating that way as well.
Steve, it's Fred here. There may be some people listening right now, and they want to reach out and help, but they can't make the trip to Alabama. Right. Is there a way that they can help, maybe financially or otherwise?
Yeah, thank you, Fred. Here's a good thing. If you go to our website and submit your email address, because maybe you can't go to Alabama the next 3 weeks, anytime we go anywhere, we will email you and we give you an email alert. So don't not go to our site because you can't go to Alabama. Give us your email address. We'll let you know. But to your question, the answer is yes. They can donate online at 8daysofhope.com. We are ECFA certified. And those dollars that are giving for Alabama will be spent in Alabama. And they can also mail us a check to our P.O. box that's on our website. That information's on our social media sites as well. But the need is great. But, boy, if anything else, please pray. I mean, right now you have probably 6 to 8 different churches that will be loving on precious families who not only lost their homes but lost loved ones. And this is a very tough time. So this is a great opportunity for you to be lifting these people up in prayer as well. But volunteer or donate on our website, but please pray.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Keep us posted.
Love you guys. Appreciate you, too. Have a great day.
Okay, you, too. That's Steve Tiber, T-Y-B-O-R, president of 8 Days of Hope. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did I hear it right that I should ask Steve this, that the tornado we're talking about, the one that was 170 miles an hour, stayed on the ground for
70 miles.
It was a half a mile wide at times?
Half a mile wide at times. Mm-hmm. Beauregard, Alabama, was one of the hardest hit areas.
Ray, have you ever heard of such?
I don't think I've ever heard of a tornado that was on the ground that long. You know, we usually hear, don't we, that they come in a few seconds. They go through a few blocks. But that long, unbelievable amount of devastation.
Or that they bounce. Mm. Tornadoes, a lot of them bounce off the ground, back up in the air, bounce.
Yeah.
But the sheriff down there, I remember seeing him of Lee County, Alabama, which is Opelika, just south of Auburn University, by the way, that he was saying it's like somebody took a knife and just raked it across the land.
Yeah.
If
you go to onenewsnow.com, I just put a video up this morning on our site, onenewsnow.com, and it's kind of satellite view of this devastation. And even from a satellite, you can see the damage. It's that extensive in that part of the country.
Yeah, and you see the tornadoes sometimes, and it's, you know, the damage is minimal in comparison to this. You maybe see a roof that's damaged or a couple of trees over, but you really don't appreciate the power that these tornadoes have until you experience something like that, because there's no safe place unless you're in a tornado shelter. A regular building is not safe.
You know, as Steve has said, the The funerals are beginning today for those dear folks. By the way, there was a story yesterday, speaking of the funerals, a couple of individuals have donated the money to pay the cost of the funerals for all of those families who lost wow. loved ones. So there's, I was talking with my wife last night. It's horrible what has happened in Alabama, but the blessing that you start to get out of it is seeing how people come together at times like this. Mm-hmm. And there's been a tremendous coming together already down there.
Yeah.
And people are helping out, but continue to pray. The president is going to go down there tomorrow. It's getting federal money is going in there. The governor was there yesterday, and the president called the governor the other day and said, we want to give you the A1 treatment as far as helping you with recovery. So if you're listening, help is on the way, if it hasn't already arrived for those dear folks there in mm-hmm. southeastern Alabama.
Next story.
Well, New York Times, no friend of President Donald Trump. And one of the big issues, President Trump says he needs money for a wall because we have a crisis on our border. New York Times, most of the time, 99% of the time, writes stories in disagreement with the president. But let me read you the headline from the New York Times just in the last 48 hours. Border at breaking point has more than 76,000 unauthorized migrants cross in a month. And they're reporting on the figures that were released. In the month of February, 76,000 illegal immigrants entered this country. So the New York Times writes this story. Now, what I want to play for you, Congressman Betty Thompson, Democrat, is the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee. Yesterday, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen appeared before that committee. I want you to listen to the Congressman Betty Thompson and also how she had to reply, and Sarah Sanders, the White House spokesman, is mixed in with this. But have a listen to this. Despite all the facts, this is what Kirstjen Nielsen, the Homeland Security Secretary, was facing yesterday. Cut number 7.
When it comes to border security, what the American people have heard from the Trump administration is misleading at best. The president declared a non-existent emergency.
It is absolutely abhorrent that Democrats are still refusing to acknowledge the crisis on the border, particularly when Barack Obama himself even called it a crisis in 2014.
This is not a manufactured crisis. This is truly an emergency. As the Secretary of Homeland Security, I can no longer assure you of who is coming into this country that is a direct national security threat. Make no mistake, this chain of human misery is getting worse.
So there you have it.
That the Congressman, Benny Thompson, he's from Mississippi.
Correct.
He represents the Delta. He's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Play that first part. This is his response to the crisis?
Yes.
Hey, play it again.
When it comes to border security, what the American people have heard from the Trump administration is misleading at best. The president declared a non-existent emergency.
It is
Wow. And here we have the New York Times saying there's 76,000. How many come in?
Just last month.
And they're calling it a crisis.
That's right.
And
well, here's one time the New York Times got it exactly right.
Yeah.
They are backing up what the president said. And there is a crisis on the border.
And that's just the apprehensions.
Yes.
What about the ones we don't apprehend?
Right.
Who knows how many that is?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm shocked that the congressman there, the chairman of the committee,
mm-hmm.
would say it's a fantasy that yeah. there's a crisis on the border. That's what,
that's what the Democratic Party is saying to him,
right?
It's not just Benny Thompson,
right? And that's the responsible adult in the room.
Yeah.
Wow. I think you're right, Fred. You said they hate President Trump
more than they love this country.
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
You know, what's really nice about our tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in September is the fact that we're with Christians who support our ministry from all over the country. We may talk differently, but we have a like mind and a like heart, and it's always a joy to spend time with our supporters. So if you want to join us on the September Spiritual Heritage Tour, Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, we'd love to have you. Now, for all the information, the dates, the pricing, everything, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. We'll fill up soon. The June tour is already sold out. We're going to fill up soon for September, so don't delay. We also go to Williamsburg and Jamestown on a tour preceding the Washington, D.C. tour. So if you'd like information on either one or both of those tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A big win for a battered baker. That story coming up. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Last year, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop. Mr. Phillips had been sued after he refused to create a wedding cake for a gay couple. The Supreme Court ruled in the Christian baker's favor. They found the Colorado Civil Rights Commission was infected with anti-religious animus. The day after the verdict, a transgender attorney demanded Mr. Phillips make him a cake celebrating transgenderism. When he declined, a complaint was filed, launching another battle with the left-wing commission. The same commission that compared Mr. Phillips to a Nazi. But the commission dropped their new complaint suddenly after the Alliance Defending Freedom discovered evidence documenting even more anti-religious bias. It is a major victory for a Christian man who has been under attack since 2012. Good for you, Jack Phillips. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, the story that Fred cited a few minutes ago in the New York Times, was that today or yesterday?
It was March the 5th, which was Tuesday.
2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Read the headline.
Border at breaking point has more than 76,000 unauthorized migrants, in other words, illegals, cross in a month.
Okay.
The month of February.
The month of February. And this is the liberal, very liberal New York Times, and they can't stand President Trump. And they have an article with the headlines, which is, says that calling it a breaking point.
First line, the number of migrant families crossing the southwest border has once again broken records.
Right.
With unauthorized entries nearly double what they were a year ago.
Right. So, folks, in the last few months, we've had hundreds of thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Who knows how many exactly, but hundreds of thousands of people. As Walker said, these are the people who have been apprehended. Come into our country illegally. They're coming up in caravans and by the hundreds of thousands from Central America and also Mexico. And they're coming into our country illegally. We don't know where they're going, what they're doing, who they are, anything like that. It's just lawlessness. And the Democrat Party, they're rolling the dice here, Ray. They're rolling the dice that the American people don't give a rip about the problem on the border.
Well, they're going to lose that, Tim, because survey after survey shows that Americans, by a wide margin, want safe and secure borders. And what are they, you know, when you have multitudes of these caravans arriving, sooner or later, there's going to be a tragedy. Sooner or later, there's going to be something bad happen down on the border that didn't have to happen if we had a secure border all the way from San Diego down to the end of the Rio Grande Valley. This is, to me, this validates everything President Trump has been saying. Yeah. When you have the New York Times backing up the president,
right,
it's time to build the wall.
Amen. I tell you what I fear is going to happen is that you're going to have some kind of confrontation between border security and these illegal immigrants.
Yes.
And some 8-year-old child is going to be shot, and because somebody's shooting at the Border Patrol. Mm-hmm. And then the Democrats, the liberal media are going to come in and say these evil Border Patrol agents who hate immigrants have finally been exposed for the thugs they are. And then you're going to have Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and all they're going to go down there to the border. This sounds like something I'm making up. This could very easily happen. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have all the liberals go down to the border. Border Security Control will be called before Congress. Nancy Pelosi, they'll be defunded. The hate must stop. That'll be their mantra. What I'm describing,
yeah,
is very likely possible. When you have a border, anything that is overrun. Okay, imagine yourself on the border. And you're a border security agent. Every day you get up, go to work, and you're seeing more and more people come in, and your colleagues, and you are fatigued, you're tired, you feel no support except from the president and some Republicans. You hear people like Congressman Benny Thompson saying this is make-believe, that this isn't really happening, this is all made up by Trump. And he's the chairman of a committee.
Homeland Security Committee. Yeah.
And he's saying it's a boogeyman. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to make a mistake. Something's going to happen, just like I described a few minutes ago. You're going to get shot at, or rocks are going to be thrown at you. You're going to get out your weapon. You're going to shoot. You may miss your target and hit a child, and then your life's over. Your life's going to be over. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the responsibility, and that's going to be on the Democrats and whatever Republicans are not supporting border security. And by border security, I mean building a wall. Increased numbers of border agents, increased number of judges. Is that what they need?
Yes.
Two as well, because this is a serious crisis. But, you know, it's one thing if Benny Thompson, the congressman of Mississippi, had said, well, this is a serious issue, and we've got tens of thousands of people coming here illegally, and we're going to be addressing this as best we can, but I don't believe in doing what the Trump administration wants to do necessarily. Okay, you could say something like that, but to say this is made up, this is a hoax, I don't know, I'm speechless that a United States congressman would say it's a hoax. He didn't use that word, but that's what he said in essence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. The Democrats don't want to acknowledge that it's real is because if it's real, then you got to do something about it.
That's right.
If you got to do something about it, it means President Trump's right. Going to have some fencing, some walls, and other stuff. So it gives President Trump a legitimate argument, and for them to concede to that would feel that as political weakness. So Fred said, some people in Washington hate President Trump more than they love our country, and I think that explains mm-hmm. why we see people unwilling to acknowledge.
And the other thing just to mention here, what some people are saying is these folks that are coming up from Central America, coming now through Mexico, they know what the Democratic Party stance is.
Yes.
And that's encouraging
open
more
borders.
Of them to come north to try to get in.
Right.
That's the problem right now. The Democratic right. Party political stance on this is encouraging even more. The problem is growing.
And making border security and ICE be the bad guys.
Yes.
Right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Jan Markell joins us now from Minnesota. Jan is president and founder of Olive Tree Ministries. She has a radio program called Understanding the Times, which airs on stations all across the country, including the American Family Radio Network. The Understand the Times program has a lot of fans and followers here on AFR, and it airs Saturdays at 1 o'clock Central Time and Sundays at noon Central Time, again here on AFR. Good morning, Jan. Thanks for being on with us.
Yep, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Fred?
Jan, it's hard to believe, and I think this is a first in the country. We have a political party now, the Democratic Party, that is struggling to come up with a resolution that says anti-Semitism is bad. They're having trouble with that because at the center of it is a Muslim congresswoman who does not like Israel, and they don't want to offend her and her supporters. And she's not alone in this. I'm not sure if you've heard the reports of the caucus meeting. The Democrats yesterday broke out into a verbal brawl because she has a lot of people who are with her in their her condemnation of Israel. And so now they delayed a vote on a resolution condemning anti-Semitism. They want to throw a lot of other things in there right now. Jan, this is a true revelation that we do have a political party in this country now that is not behind Israel and harbors anti-Semitism.
Yeah, particularly the one that we're referring to, of course, is Representative Omar, who's from Minnesota's 3rd District, which isn't far from me. It's here in the Twin Cities area, and just by way of background, back in the 1990s, Bill Clinton's administration allowed, I believe it might have been 25,000 Somalis to come to Minnesota. Now, that's grown because over time, far more relatives, family members come, plus just others are coming from Somalia. It's between 100,000 and 200,000 Somalis now throughout Minnesota. That's just by way of background. And then we have Representative Tlaib over in Michigan. And then, of course, Ocasio-Cortez is sympathetic to these two women. They're kind of the three musketeers. But yeah, I mean, without going into much detail, I mean, Minnesotans are really troubled by what we see going on. There's a bit of irony here in that, and I have a Jewish background, so I think I can say this with a little bit of authority, that many Jews become Democrats because, let's just say, they like the progressive, what progressive stands for, because if Jews are seen as progressives, then that they represent tolerance and diversity and these kinds of things. Well, that's kind of come around to in the back door now to really harm them. Fred, just based on what you've outlined there, and absolutely they are facing a crisis because I think their real colors are being revealed, and that is, it seems to be, not that there aren't some Republicans who probably have some similar sentiment, but it seems rampant on the part of progressives now to be, let's face it, to be pro-Islam, to be pro-homosexual, to be pro-abortion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but to be anti-Israel and anti-Jew. It is amazing.
So is the future, Jan, of the Democratic Party to become a party that supports anti-Semitism, or at least looks the other way when it's found in its own ranks? What does it say when they will not condemn Representative Omar's statements? What does that say about the party?
For one thing, it says any evangelical who remains a part of this just needs to really take a second look and pray about their affiliation, I think. I think as a party, I think it's quite obvious, gentlemen, that the party is moving so far left. It's moving into dangerous radical areas. I mean, even Bernie Sanders, who could very well end up being the nominee of the party, and he himself, you know, is a pro-Muslim, pro-Omar, pro-Tlaib, pro-Ocasio-Cortez, progressive. I mean, what does that say about a party that's going into, that's cheering? I mean, I think we all remember what happened in New York several weeks ago now when they cheered the passage of the bill that was going to allow the murder of a born baby. So I think this is a party that's now in the danger zone. I think they have been totally given over to Romans 1, which is that depraved mentality. That's an end-time thing that happens to people who reject God. Progressives reject God. Government must be God to the progressive, mm-hmm. and that is their problem.
Also, Jan, in addition to what you just said, these people, these secular progressives, as they're called, and you could go further than that and talk about socialism and communism, but these people, these people hate us.
They do.
What I'm talking about, they hate evangelical and conservative Catholics too. They can't stand.
Right.
They cannot stand us. They can hardly contain their contempt because we are a big part of the problem. And if they could, they'd put us in jail or worse. They really.
Well, they. You know, I mean, this is what's happened in repressive countries. I mean, the first to go are anybody who believes in God. You're right. I mean, any kind of true faith people, or as you say, even a conservative Catholic. But anybody who believes in Jesus Christ is probably going to end up. I mean, look, over in the Muslim countries, it's Coptic Christians who are being beheaded. Okay, they don't have the theology of the First Baptist Church, but they still wear a cross. Therefore, they're under persecution. So this is going to spread across America, and you're absolutely right. Christians and conservatives are in their sights. We have to go. And again, we can change this in the voting booths, but that may be the only way.
And I wrote about this recently here, and I know we're crossing over between the spiritual and the political, but they do intersect at places here in our country. Now, not everything does, but this does. The one of the reasons why the secular left cannot stand President Trump, one of the reasons, and one of the big reasons, I believe, is because he, politically speaking, is all that stands between them getting at us, and getting it up, being able to get at us, okay? His administration and his judicial appointments, including Supreme Court appointments. They had it all ready to go. It was 8 years of President Obama.
That's right.
And then they were planning on 8 years of Hillary Clinton. And the things that they would have been able to do to Christians in America, the basket of deplorables, as she calls us.
That's right.
They were all primed and ready to go, and then this happened. Trump gets elected, and then they're going. It so angered them. Now I'm not. Now we coming after us, and I could list you a myriad of ways they can do that. They could do that by denying radio licenses for us.
That's exactly right.
And I'm not talking about just specifically American Family Association, American Family Radio. I'm talking about coming after Christians in general in America. That's what these people. We're going to devise ways to do because they had you got to take out the deplorables.
Take the IRS for example.
Yes,
the IRS denying.
There you go.
Right,
they're denying 501c3 nonprofit status.
So they already got the ball rolling.
You don't have to come just put shackles on your arms and put you in jail. There's ways they can harass your life.
Yes,
you see what the social media giants are doing now to conservatives.
That's exactly
and Christians.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what Hillary was going to do with the power of. The executive branch of the federal government, had she been allowed to be president. And when Trump got elected, it just threw everything. It threw a monkey wrench and they're still angry about that even today.
They're still angry about it, and I don't think they can quite figure it out. But here, we can figure it out.
Right.
God just said, you know what, I'm not ready for you totalitarians yet to take over, and that's their mindset, is totalitarianism. I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to come, the Bible says, but God said not now, and this guy from this builder came in and threw the biggest monkey wrench into politics, I think, that we've ever known, absolutely.
Right. I can still see the looks on their faces that night of election. You want to get a kick, go watch election night coverage 2016. It's kind of like a sports team who's favored by 50.
That's right.
And then they lose. Mm-hmm. And they're all looking at each other going, what in the world happened here? Mm-hmm. All right, Jan, what's coming up this weekend on your show?
Coming up this weekend, we're going to look at the seals of Revelation, and we're going to look also at the coming one world religion and who might the participants be in that. I love listening from your listeners. They're a great bunch of folks, so thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Jan. Jan Markell joining us. Appreciate it from Olive Tree Ministries. Hey, let me ask you this, Ray, and I think this would be an interesting discussion at more length for another day. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I have not tipped off Ray about what I'm going to ask him. So he's answering on the fly. And Fred, you've studied the Bible a lot and taught the Bible a lot as well. Ray, where does the hatred and the disdain for the Jews come from?
Certainly goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, where God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. I think it all goes back to Genesis 12, when God chose Abraham to be the father of a great nation and to say, this land I'm going to give to you perpetually, eternally. And, you know, whenever God does something like that, there rises up in the hearts of other people, sinful men and women, a kind of rage and resentment and envy. Oh, God, who are you to choose these people above anybody else? But God himself said through Moses, it's not as if God chose you because you were better or smarter or anything else. It was purely a movement of God's grace in order that through the Jewish people, the Messiah himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come to the earth. So these questions go right to the heart of biblical theology. If you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, and you hate the Jewish people, that's like saying you hate the Jewish Messiah, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why I've always thought for a Christian to be anti-Semitic is a contradiction in terms. You don't even understand who the Lord Jesus, who you claim to be your Savior, you don't understand. You are worshiping a Jew who died on the cross and rose from the dead for you. So, Tim, these are big questions, but they go all the way back to God's choice of Abraham in the very beginning.
God loves the Jewish people, and as Ray said, he chose the Jewish people really to manifest himself through them. That's the story of the Old Testament. God judged the Jewish people when they disobeyed him, but he said, I made a covenant with you guys, not because you're the
through Abraham.
Guy. Through Abraham, I made a covenant with you. And I'm going to bring you back, and this is the ongoing story. But the bottom line in all of this, what God loves, what God designed, Satan hates. And Satan hates the Jewish people.
You really believe in Satan?
Yes, I do.
A real, literal
Satan.
Okay.
And he roams this earth seeking who he can devour. Mm-hmm. And he hates the Jewish people. He wants to destroy them because God has created them, as I say, to manifest himself through the Jewish people.
Mm.
So the bottom line in anti-Semitism is Satan.
Yeah,
that's where it comes from. Because there's no logic to say the Jewish people are a danger. They're a small little group of people.
Yeah,
there's less than 10 million of them in the world,
right,
the last figure that I saw. They're not a threat to anyone. In the Middle East, they're not a threat to anyone.
No.
Right.
It's the neighborhood that threatens them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Netanyahu said, you ought to come and live in our neighborhood for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is irrational. It's rational and irrational. It's rational in the sense that as you two, Ray and Fred, have laid it out as to the reasons why there is anti-Semitism in the world, why the Jews are hated. Now, some people would say, those who can't stand the Jews, that they would give you reasons like, oh, they control the banks, or, you know, they control the world money, or that's what Hitler used, wasn't it, Ray? I mean,
right,
those kinds of things.
Right.
And so they manipulate money. And I'm just telling you the stereotypes and the things that people use to say why we should not like Jews.
Those are just excuses, Tim.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just telling you what they'll say.
Yeah, Fred, I want to say amen to that, everything you said, but especially that statement, what God has designed, Satan hates, and he opposes. That anti-Semitism is satanic in its origin. It's an attack on God the Creator. It's an attack on God's choice.
Yeah.
And when you hate the Jewish people, you are actually doing the devil's work.
Now, the secular Jews, Walker, they don't really understand this.
Right, which is why they vote for the Democrats.
Right. They don't understand the biblical or spiritual aspect of what we've been talking about
here. Yeah, and this goes back just in the Democrat Party. You look back in 2012. I know you brought this up this morning, Dad. That is, the Democrats booed God out of their convention in 2012, the Democratic National Convention. And so this kind of behavior of being anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Jew is really starting to take on the Democratic Party, and to a point where it's out of control.
And, Walker, in that same 2012 Democrat National Convention in Charlotte, mm-hmm. where they booed God, they also took out the part of the Democrat platform calling for the capital of Israel to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. They took that out. Mm-hmm. They rescinded it. They no longer wanted that in their platform. That represents the kind of thinking that's being uttered by this congresswoman from Minnesota.
Democrats have more sympathy for the Palestinian terrorist than they do Israel.
That's right.
And the Jews. Yeah. They have more sympathy because that's what this is all about.
Right.
This is about whether you think Israel is in their rightful place or whether they've invaded the Palestinian land.
Right.
And the Democrats side with the Palestinians.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio, and I just hasten to say, having traveled in Israel 20-plus times, there are some wonderful Palestinian people, Arabs, a lot of them are Christians.
They're in Israel.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and by the way, I remember seeing a poll where they were polling Arabs in Israel. Would you rather live in Israel or would you rather live in an Arab, a Muslim country? And they wanted to live in Israel.
Yeah.
Because they're protected there.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 3 minutes, Fred. What do you got?
All right. To kind of go along with what we've been talking about, the radical agenda of those in the Democratic Party, we all know that AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, back a few weeks ago introduced the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's all about. Well, yesterday, Republican Congressman from Oklahoma, Mark Wayne Mullen, gave a pretty good assessment of what that agenda is all about. It's going to be cut number 9, Brent.
It has nothing to do with fossil fuels. It has nothing to do with energy. It has to do with socialism. Think about it. We all laugh when they say that you got to replace all the buildings in 10 years. We sit there and we go, really? No, it's about taking over the buildings in 10 years. It's about taking over our universities, our office buildings, our apartments. How else are they going to guarantee housing for all? How else are they going to pay for education for all? We all laugh when they say they're going to take away air travel in 10 years. But how else are they going to control the movement of individuals? This has nothing to do with energy. And everything to do with Cortez's plan to taking America to a socialist style of government.
Bingo. What's his name?
Mark Wayne Mullen. He's a Republican congressman from Oklahoma, the great state of Oklahoma.
His last name is spelled Mullin.
Yep.
That was awesome.
Wasn't that incredible?
Yeah.
It's about control.
We need to have him on our program, Brent. See if you can get the congressman there from Oklahoma on.
What it's all about, control, socialism.
I've never seen a first name.
Mark
his first, her, his first name is Markwayne, one word, right?
Yep.
Mark Wayne. Must be a family name.
Yep.
Or maybe it's one of those only in the South names. Huh? Mark Wayne. Anyway, I'd love to have him on our program, and that was excellent. Yeah. All right, Walker and Ray, and yours truly will be back in 5 minutes with more with Steve Jordoff. Fred, thank you.
You're welcome.
For your contributions today.
Great to be here.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 5 minutes, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.